This is Adam Kuntz reading from Gish Jen's The Love Wife, pages 66 through 68. Blondie. My father's family, the Baileys, were immigrants. This was the family of Grandpa, the judge. Scotch-Irish city folk who didn't much care about land. Or at least not as much as the German side of the family, my mother's family, the Benkies. So deeply attached were they to Wisconsin, where they had lived on a farm and kept a cabin on a lake up north, that the first thing my Grandma Dodie did when she married and moved east was to buy a good-sized neck of land on a good-sized pond. How the big fish and wild berries reminded her of her childhood. Though her family had never owned as much waterfront as she and Grandpa Warner bought here in Maine. A whole peninsula, really a skinny causeway broadening into a kind of island. There was a dock on one side, perfect for boats, and a sandy beach with a gradual drop-off on the other, perfect for children. It was so far north that she and Grandpa had no neighbors at first, so far north that it seemed a real retreat from all the getting and spending of the East Coast. Why ever had she moved? Back home, her farm relatives struggled. They could barely survive on the milk they sold to the cheese factory. True, the ones who moved into town, that is, did better. Their boys worked in the cheese factory or became ministers. Their girls worked in the cheese factory or became teachers. But in the end, no one stayed. No one could. In the end, everyone moved to Wausau to work in the paper mill or else to a bigger city still, Chicago, other places. Once the factory shut down, they had no choice. Yet still, as the years went on, Grandma Dodie wondered sometimes, was life happier in Wisconsin? She did remember life on the farm, how they had no electricity and no heat besides a wood stove in the kitchen. Still the joy when the train brought oysters and oranges at Christmas. She could still taste her mom's oyster stew. And how she had loved huddling in the kitchen with her older brothers and sisters, all six of whom married the six kids at the farm next door. If the Voigtlands hadn't run out of kids, who knew whether she would have married Grandpa Warner with his lab books and specimens. As she grew older, she began to talk about going back. She began to talk, too, about the lost past, about things disappearing. By the end, she was made anxious by anything missing, even for a short while, people, dishes, furniture. She would fret about threats she read about in the paper, to our country's waterways, to our country's forests. This world, after all, can disappear like any other, she would say. I just pray for the health of the trees. Wendy. We still have these empty boxes in the attic that my great-grandma Dodie saved because that's like what girls got when they were 25 and not married yet, seeing as how that's what they were considered back in Germany, an old box. Never mind that great-grandma Dodie did get married in the end and anyway wasn't even all German. She was some other things too, like I think French. Still, German was what great-grandma Dodie grew up praying, she said, because prayers in German went to God faster than any other kind. And German was what she grew up eating, gross stuff like blood sausage and head cheese that they made on the farm. Also sauerkraut that great-grandma Dodie kept on making herself in Maine in these crocks Mom wants to teach Lizzie and me to use. Forget about if we want to learn it or not. She set on it, Lizzie says, because she herself mostly ate SpaghettiOs and Spam and Twinkies growing up. Talk about gross, but that's what people ate because of the war, even after the war, because they all just got used to it. And that's why she talks about the farm like some people talk about movies, too, Lizzie says. Like, she actually lived there, or at least went there on vacation. She talks about stuff like how everybody back in Wisconsin knows what to do with a baby calf. Nobody's grossed out by the newborns being covered with bloody gunk and the mama cow licking it all up, or is surprised by the mama cow lowing and pushing until that poor baby has to stand up either. My class saw that on a field trip once, and we couldn't believe it, the way the mother was bullying that baby, pushing it all around the stall, even though it was just born and kind of shocked. You know, by the outside world, it probably wasn't expecting so much hay. And to be pushed around for a thing like that and expected to stand up. Everybody on the trip was shocked except Mom, who said that about Wisconsin. Quiet-like, of course, and not to make everyone else feel stupid. It was like she just wanted to tell me, because her mother told her.